Hey guys, welcome to our True Crime Tuesday. It's Marley. Carly wasn't able to make it today, so we have a very special guest. It's
the Nickster.
We have Nikki, aka the Nickster, and we are Bitches Be Like.
Today we're covering the murder of a 10-year-old girl, Katie Coleman, from Crothersville, Indiana, and the revenge that was exacted on her killer.
Before we get into today's story, make sure you go like, follow, share, and subscribe on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at BBL Podcast Girls. Alrighty, so we have the murder of Katie Coleman, a 10-year-old fourth grader in Crothersville, Indiana.
Where's Crothersville, Indiana at?
Crothersville is about a little over an hour south of Indianapolis.
Okay.
So not too far.
Right.
So it's January 25th, 2005.
Okay.
And it's a normal Tuesday morning. Katie's mother, Angie, notices that they're out of toilet paper. So she asks Katie to run down to the Dollar General to pick up some more toilet paper.
How far is the Dollar General? It's kind of cold outside. It's January.
The Dollar General is about a couple blocks down from where they live, so it's not too far for Katie to walk.
Okay.
So Katie puts her coat on and goes out into the cold. What's supposed to be a quick errand turns into a nightmare. About an hour goes by when Katie's mother starts to panic because Katie should have been back by now and she hasn't heard from her. So Katie's mother calls Katie's father, Jonathan, and tells him what's going on, and he hasn't heard from her either. So Angie's really panicking at this point. She goes down to the Dollar General. The cashier confirms that Katie did come in and make her purchase. And they asked some other people in the area if they had seen Katie, but they didn't say anything about seeing Katie, but they did see a white truck in that area.
Oh, that's scary.
At this point, they call the police. They, you know, file a missing persons report immediately. An Amber Alert is issued for Katie. Police, family, friends, random volunteers, they all search the streets, the surrounding woods, to see if they can find her, and it's as if she has vanished into thin air. A few days go past and there's still no sign of her. After 5 days, police investigators find the body of a little girl in a creek about 15 miles from Katie's house.
Oh no.
Despite the decomposition of the body, you could tell that it was Katie and that she had been murdered along with sexually assaulted.
That's so sad.
The whole community was devastated. Okay, so before they could actually process what happened, a man comes forward and confesses. 20-year-old Charles James Hickman. He's a high school dropout known for using drugs and sitting in a lawn chair in front of his mom's trailer most of the time. He says him and another guy, Timothy O'Sullivan, abducted the girl because she saw them doing a meth deal and they were afraid that she would snitch.
Wow, silenced her.
So they decided to silence her for good.
Wow.
So he says they tied her hands behind her back and took her to the creek where she was later found. They told investigators that she had fallen and accidentally drowned. A few weeks later, he shocks investigators by telling them he actually made the whole story up. Not one detail he said was true. So he's found guilty of misleading a police investigation and possession of illegal substances. A few weeks later, he's actually found guilty of the molestation of a 13-year-old girl and is put in jail. All right, so this false confession stalls investigators 9 weeks and costs them millions of dollars. So the detectives, they thought they had a lucky break, but they were set back to square one with a ton of questions. Detectives decide to do the only thing they can do, go back to the creek where the body was found, and search the creek for more clues to lead to the real killer. So when they go back to the creek and look for more clues, they find a cigarette butt in the same area. So they test the DNA, and it's a match to the DNA that they found on Katie's body. So police know that this cigarette butt belongs to the killer of Katie. So they have this much information. So what they do is they take this DNA and they run it through their system and they get a match.
Ooh.
So that's good. Normally you don't find a match or something like that. Takes forever, but they find a match and it belongs to a man named Anthony Stockholman, and he drives a white pickup truck. Remember how earlier?
Seen in the scene.
Yes. And on the date that Katie was killed, he was in town visiting his mother.
Nice.
So they also found fibers on Katie's body that they tied to match some fibers that were found in Anthony's mother's house. So he has no choice but to plead guilty because all the evidence points towards him.
Yes.
Now, he has no criminal record. He works at a factory in nearby Seymour, Indiana. No one would have guessed that this dude did this crime. Everyone said that he was the nicest guy. Of course, it's always the person that no one suspects.
Always.
Well, in exchange for pleading guilty, they take the death penalty off the table. And life in prison is what he gets. So, but this is where things get juicy. Okay, so Anthony's story should have ended there. But he had no idea what fate had in mind for him. His time in prison was a lot harder than he expected. He was in Wabash Valley Correctional Facility. And when he was put in there, he did not know that a relative of Katie was already locked up there.
Oh, that's bad.
Katie's cousin, 22-year-old Jared Harris, was put in prison in 2000 for burglary. He was in the same wing as Anthony.
What is the irony of that?
As soon as Anthony gets to prison, Jared starts threatening him out in the open, like in front of other inmates, letting people know what he did, but no action is taken. Like, he doesn't do anything to Anthony at this time. But 3 days into the stay, Jared slips into Anthony's cell and hides. Anthony's not in there, but when he comes in, Jared jumps out and puts his hands around Anthony's throat and says, "I'm either going to stab you and let you bleed to death, or I'm going to tattoo you." Jared somehow had gotten a tattoo gun in prison and kept it hidden from the guards. Anthony has to choose if he's going to die or if he's going to be scarred for life. So obviously he's going to pick
scarred for life.
Tattoo, right? So when Jared's done, the words "Katie's revenge" is tattooed across Anthony's forehead.
Oh my gosh. And the picture's on our
Instagram
as well. Wow.
So make sure you check that out at BBL Podcast Girls if you want to see a picture of Anthony's tattooed forehead. So when Jared's done with the tattoo gun, he throws it into the trash, leaves Anthony's cell. Anthony's cellmate finds him laying on the floor. When the police and everybody at the prison investigate this and question Jared, he has zero remorse for what he did.
Of course.
Zero remorse. He says that he chose to act on this specific date at this specific time because later that day he was being moved to a new wing somewhere else in the prison, so he had to do it at this time. This was his last chance.
Perfect timing, though, right?
Right. So Jared ultimately was charged with battery, and they added 7 years to his sentence. He was already serving 20, so...
well worth it. What's another 7 after 20 years? Mm.
Since the attack, Anthony stays in a private cell. He eats alone. He has recreation alone. He sleeps alone. There was someone who offered to have the tattoo removed off of his face for him for free. But even if they do that, who knows how much they're really going to get out of the tattoo. You can usually still see them after that.
Right, and at least the scar's definitely going to save that.
You know, child killers and rapists are among the most disliked people in prison. So having that tattoo labels him as to what he did. So it's really not safe for him in prison. However, I personally think that he should keep the tattoo. I think that he should be branded for life. Everyone should know what he did.
I think that as well. I think that he should definitely keep the tattoo and have to go in public. Or, I mean, in the population.
Yeah, definitely.
At least one day a week.
They have him all by himself, so he's not going to have to really worry about that at this time. But he's still in prison currently, serving time for killing Katie Coleman.
I'm glad they got him.
Yes, definitely. And he has that tattoo now.
Right.
All right. So that was the murder of Katie Coleman in Caruthersville, Indiana. Be sure to follow, like, share, subscribe on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Check out the pics we shared of Katie and her killer on our Instagram.
And the revenge tattoo.
Yes. All righty. Okay. Love you. Bye.